creatures of space.
All right. Welcome back to the Rational Face, second episode.
Yay. We're so huge right now.
We had a million hits already.
So for
1 million downloads.
So, dude, I don't even know what to do. I got all these women clamoring at me now. So, so our second installation comes from the blog No Poor Among Them. This is run by David Dixon, and in this episode, David Dixon interviews Angela Hughes. Paul, right. Tell us about Angela.
Angela, her and her husband, they founded a nonprofit organization called Color My World, and it's basically focuses on humanitarian relief efforts and involving children in the service, so it's pretty cool. So David Dixon interviews her, and I hope you enjoy this podcast.
Welcome to the official podcast of No Poor Among Them, a project devoted to education and inspiration in the art of service and the passion to end poverty. My name is Dave Dixon, and I'm excited to have with me today Angela Hughes. Welcome, Angela.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. So, Angela, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
My name is Angela Hughes, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have four children ranging between 9 and 19 years old, and we run a small nonprofit called Color My World out of Bedford, New Hampshire, that focuses on humanitarian trips and disaster relief programs.
Okay, very cool. So Color My World started back in 2000. So can you tell us how it came about and what the general purpose of the organization is?
Absolutely. Well, we were living in the state of Iowa in a cornfield, and our children were very little, probably 5 and 3 at the time. And we were just looking for ways to serve and ways to get our neighbors involved in serving. We lived in a wonderful Christian community. And so we started doing humanitarian kits through the LDS Church, things like the newborn kits and the school kits and the hygiene kits. And the kids really loved the school kits because it had, you know, pencils and paper and crayons and things that they could relate to in them. And so that's where we kind of came up with our name, Color My World, because they liked the whole coloring idea. Mm. And then kits obviously were going around the world. And we just kind of built on that. We found that the hygiene kit, we were sending out hygiene kits almost every single year with one disaster or another. And it really started to take off with the tsunami in Indonesia, where we shipped out tens of thousands of dollars of hygiene kits that were all just donated from just neighborhood friends and people. And we thought, hey, this is something that people can rely on. Let's stick with these kits for disaster relief. They're easy and they get to where they need to be. And it's just kind of grown. And unfortunately, there's been so many disasters that it's been pretty stable. And we've contributed to almost every big disaster, from Hurricane Kate to just recently Hurricane Sandy, which was here on the East Coast, was just, first of all, an incredible disaster. And then to be so close to our hearts being on the East Coast, we were able to drive everything down and just start delivering right in Brooklyn, hands-on. And so, unfortunately, it's been an incredible experience, but to watch the disaster that accompany it has been a little bit moving as well.
Yeah. So how does that work, getting a kit? So does Church Humanitarian send it out to your place and you assemble it and then they pick it up and ship it out, or how does that work?
Actually, just the opposite. We use social media to the max, and also newspaper to get the word out on what we need. And we usually put out some drop-off spots in our community, and people can donate the toothpaste and the combs and the towels. And then we just have big assembling parties where we put together the kits. A couple of years ago, things started to go a little bit wild on social media, especially with Hurricane Sandy. We just put out like a flyer, and soon we just had corporations and people just dropping off boxes or through the mail, just delivering tons and tons of hygiene kits. We took in probably over $30,000 worth of aid. Wow. We had one company come and just with a big, almost like a U-Haul of towels, and they were in the towel business for a hospital and so forth, and they just dropped off $10,000 worth of towels that went straight to Hurricane Sandy in New Jersey. And so, no, the church doesn't send us any supplies. At one point, we were using the church as a distribution. We'd just take we'd make the exact kit that they shipped, and we'd drop that off at our storehouse locally and just have it shipped out to wherever the need was. But more recently, we've been sending it out ourselves.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to ask a follow-up question. Do you have a big garage? But you have a storehouse then.
You know, my husband, he has a love-hate relationship with this whole thing. He loves what we're doing, but there have been times where my living room and my garage have been just wall to ceiling full of soap and toothpaste, and the scent and fragrances are so strong that it just smells up the whole house.
Oh, boy. So he wants his house back sometimes.
No, he loves what we're doing, but there are times where he's thinking, you know, wow, we've got to come up with a better distribution plan.
Sure, sure. Okay, so yeah, it sounds like you've been really successful with that. What about some of the other projects you do? Your website is just full of different things that you do.
Well, we've actually our big focus is our humanitarian trips that we're doing. That was an extension of the hygiene kits. It started with my son's Eagle Scout project when he was 14. We collected hygiene kits, and we decided that we were going to deliver them in Costa Rica. And we ended up pairing up with a Christian group called Faithful Servant Missions in San Ramon, and spent a week down there working with their population, which is completely third world, off the grid, and quite a dangerous little community. And took the kits down there and got to know the people. We absolutely loved it. One of my long-term goals was to combine my interests. I have a background in travel and tourism, own a travel agency with my family, taught at BYU in the travel and tourism department. So part of my interest was instead of just taking group tours, which I do around the world, to places like Italy and, you know, fabulous places, was to incorporate that idea of taking people to the third world to have a different experience. And so after we did Costa Rica, I was like, this is a possibility. We could do this a lot cheaper than a lot of the mission trips per se. We can do it in a non-denominational way. It doesn't have to be a religious, because we're not a religious organization per se. Mm-hmm. And just do it a lot cheaper so high school and college and family kids could experience the third world. They could give back. And so we started doing that last year. We had two expeditions down to Nicaragua, and next year we have two sessions that we're doing in the summer, July 7th and July 14th, back in Nicaragua. We found a great village to work in right on the ocean where the kids and families can surf and have a little bit of a beach vacation, but they can also be helping out this amazing community that we're working in. And then on a side note, we end up taking a lot of the hygiene kits and the school kits with us as well. So we're kind of combining the best of both worlds. The great thing about it is sustainability, where the hygiene kits were disaster relief. It was a one-time thing. You know, kind of you donated a kit, you were done. The humanitarian trips give people more of an opportunity to help sustain families around the world and help them become more self-reliant.
Okay, yeah. So what can one expect if they go on one of these trips?
An adventure. We are about 3 hours from the airport in Nicaragua. A lot of people think Nicaragua is just totally dangerous. They have this impression of like guerrilla warfare from 20 years ago. The area that we work in is about 3 hours away. It's completely off grid. There's not a convenience store for an hour from us. It's a rural fishing village, and we stay in a little lodge that has about 30 beds in it, and it's right on the ocean, and it's just raw, untouched beauty there. And we work in the school there. Last year we built a small school kitchen there because they didn't have any way to feed their kids, and a lot of the kids walk for miles away to go to school. We work in a garbage dump there, a garbage dump community where people live on the fringe of the dump, and they actually get all of their food and resources from the dump. And so we do a couple community feedings, one in the garbage dump, another one at the school. We do neighborhood cleanups. We have a huge solar cooking program that we just put into place last year with portable solar cookers. All of these families cook with fire in their huts. It's very dangerous not only to the environment but to their health, and it's just killing the ecosystem. And that's the same all across the world where people cook with open fires. And so we've been taking and doing educational programs on solar cooking. And this year, because we went late enough in the year, towards August, we were able to do a turtle rescue program as well. And everybody really liked that.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds like you keep them busy while they're down there.
Yeah, everybody's busy. And, you know, when there's downtime, it's just complete swimming and ocean and surfing and horseback riding. So super fun for everybody.
All right. Okay, so what are the best ways for others to get involved with Color My World?
Well, obviously, our big push right now is the humanitarian trips. All that information's on our website at www.colormyworldkids.org. And we also do Eagle Scout projects. People can donate kits. They can create their own Eagle Scout project. Coming up this summer, we have a family from Texas. Their son is doing their Eagle Scout project with us on our humanitarian trip, and he's invited 9 people to go along with him. And so we're just trying to incorporate any way that families can work together on the humanitarian trips. You can donate kits. You can do something locally for your school. We've done a lot of local efforts, from environmental efforts in the community to fighting pornography to working at the local shelters. We get a lot of stuff in, like toothpaste that doesn't fit our kit size, or just random shampoos that people take from hotels. And so we often have like leftovers, and those all go locally to shelters here. And these are all ideas that people can replicate in their own community. Even if they don't go through our organization, it's not hard to put a kit together and drop it off at your local LDS distribution center. All of that information is online at their website, or it's online at our website. You know, so there's so many things people can just do and respond to just on their own and just get ideas from.
Yeah, that's great. So we'll link to your website as well.
Awesome.
And on that website, you will find a great slogan. It's search inward, look upward, reach outward. I want you to talk about the slogan and how trying to live it has impacted your life.
Well, that really came, it was a quote that, and I can't remember if President Hinckley or President Monson said it. There was a combination of it. I heard it 10 years ago. And that just really stuck with me. And then I couldn't really remember exactly what he said. And I just kind of wrote down what I remembered. Search inward, look upward, reach outward. And that just kind of became our slogan. And now it's our motto. And, you know, when we wear a T-shirt, it's on there. It just kind of encompasses everything that, for me or for our family, is life, kind of. You're reaching inward into your own lives. You're looking up to God, because this is God's work on every single level. And I can just totally testify on it, on so many different levels of how things happen, because it's His work. I mean, nothing goes, and I can't even really make sense of that, but I've just seen so many miracles happen that when it's about you, it doesn't work. But when it's about his work and his people and his service, then things just seem to roll really smooth. And we have been stuck so many times going, how are we going to get the stuff delivered? Or how are we going to get the stuff down to New York after Hurricane Sandy? And just said a prayer and within a day found a huge shipping company that was able to take everything for free. Or, you know, just little miracles like that all the time. This last humanitarian trip, we had some passport issues 3 days before we left and just saw miracles work like no other, getting passports cleared and so forth. And so I think when you're kind of doing his work and on his timetable and with his people, things work out. And then, of course, reaching outward is just kind of the essence of the whole organization.
Yeah. So let me ask you here. So this is started as a family organization for you.
Mm-hmm. It is. Uh-huh.
How did you get the kids involved, and what's their role in the operation?
Well, the kids have always kind of run the organization. I do all of the big kind of marketing tactics as far as, you know, the social media plans and, you know, working with the newspapers and, you know, a lot of the marketing behind it, because it is marketing. I mean, in nonprofits, you are in a competitive business with other nonprofits. And, you know, we're not the Red Cross. We don't have $1 million flowing in our direction. We have local people who know us making donations. But because we've always been in the soft good business, that's where the kids come into play. They're the ones picking up the kits. They're the ones putting them together. They're the ones getting their friends to go on the trips. You know, and it's evolving. I actually hope my daughter, who's now at BYU, will, you know, choose to help work in the nonprofit sector and help us grow this down the road if she chooses. So I can see how they can become more operational, where before it was just something that we did together, kind of, you know, families that serve together kind of stick together type thing.
Yeah, that's great. So as a humanitarian, if you could make one plea or request to fellow church members, what would it be?
Oh, get out of the cultural hall. I think that would be the biggest thing, is to get out among your neighbors. One thing I've liked about this is people are afraid to donate. They're afraid to donate because they're afraid that they're paying somebody's salary, or the goods won't get to the place that they say they're going to get to, or they're just sick of fraudulent activities in the nonprofit sector. But really, I think just getting out and getting to know your neighbors and serving where you can and serving with them. I find, as a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that we are really inclusive people. We socialize among ourselves. We volunteer among ourselves. And I think, for me, my biggest request would be get out and work with your neighbors. And that's what I like about our organization. It's given us the platform to invite our neighbors. Religion doesn't, you know, religion is not a line anybody needs to stand on. It's just service. And you'll find that there's good people all over the world, and your neighbors are those people. And they want to serve. They want to donate. They want to be a part of it. And they're amazing.
Amen. Yeah, that's great advice. Any final thoughts?
Ooh, final thoughts. Come to Nicaragua. It will change your life.
All right, cool. So what are the dates on those trips? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, the trips, the first session is July 7th to the 14th, and then the 14th to the 21st, or you can stay 2 weeks.
Okay. So, and when do you need to sign up by?
Well, we're already taking deposits, and there's a $250 deposit for that, and then the full payment's not due until March. And one of our sessions, the second session, is quite full, but we have a few spots left on that one. The first one is still open, and we can squeeze people on wherever we want. Yeah, and like I said, you need to be 16 and up if you go alone. If you go as a family, we've had 10 and 12-year-olds on it, even 8-year-olds. And it's great to go with your parents. It is such a great experience to be able to do something like that with your child. I first thought my husband is not the third world type at all. I thought the first time that we went there, and we went there just as a family vacation to test it out, He was the one that essentially said, let's do this again. He's like, this could work for us. And I was so shocked because you really are sleeping under mosquito nets and eating rice and beans and chicken and fish right from the ocean or from your local chicken. And he actually has just fallen in love with it. We're doing this every year, you know. And it's such a great, safe destination for people to go. And it's affordable because it's close to the U.S. You don't need to go clear to Africa or clear to Cambodia, which we've investigated these places as well and hopefully want to expand into Cambodia or Thailand and some of these other areas. But I think cost is such a big thing for people. And if they can go somewhere close and it's off, you know, you can leave from Houston or Miami, you know, you can encompass a lot of the U.S. with that and keep costs down. You know, I never have believed that people should have to pay $1 trillion to volunteer.
Sure. Yeah, well put. All right, well, Angela Hughes, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.